It's the radio segment that's launching a new pet service called Uggy Buddy. Where if you want to make your pet look good in photos, Uggy Buddy will provide you with an even uglier looking animal than your own. So they'll look great in comparison.
Oh, I love it.
Rent yourself a cringe-worthy canine today with Laser Stories, the segment where we read weird news stories around the globe just like everyone else does, except we've got a laser and those other cheap wah-wahs just don't. This first Laser Story is out of Ohio. A school district went on lockdown last week when a creepy person was spotting walking around the campus running past the classrooms.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Jeez. It's like the worst fear of mine as a mother.
Some elementary kids were outside at the time, and school officials are being commended for quickly moving them inside to safety. But not before one child identified the mystery man and yelled, "Hey, look, everybody, it's Bigfoot."
What?
We
found Yeti and he's on the campus of a school?
Well, the Sasquatch wasn't real, obviously. Oh. They later found out that it was a parent who was playing a prank on his son for his birthday.
What? Oh, dude, you got run it by the school first.
Get that checked out. I mean, that's the parent that doesn't respond to any of the school emails.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
As for how it ended, Bigfoot never got inside the building. The parent was apprehended by a school resource officer.
Oh, God.
And prosecutors are reviewing the case.
Oh,
it's unclear
if they're going to face charges.
I hope not.
Some people online are making light of the situation, saying the school overreacted to some innocent fun.
Well,
but
you check in with the desk. Like, literally, you can't enter a school without going up
visitor
and
badge.
Signing in.
Yeah, call ahead and say, "It's my son's birthday tomorrow. I'd like to do a prank. How can I do this?"
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to ruin the surprise.
Okay.
Many others who have young children themselves say they would not want a masked person creeping around their child's school, even if they knew it was a parent in a costume.
Yeah, because the kids don't know either. They're going to be scared.
This next Laser Story is out of San Pedro, California. 31-year-old Esteban Prado had been training months for his first big marathon race. For preparation, he'd run 100 miles a week.
Oh, my God.
And you know what?
That sounds crazy.
It paid off.
Really?
Because he won the whole thing.
What?
Oh, my God!
Yay. Can you imagine winning a marathon? I think that is just nuts.
On your first try?
Yes. Like, I'm just, like, would be amazed at myself for completing it.
I'd be impressed just driving to the marathon. I'd be like, I can't believe I parked here.
He was declared the men's marathon winner.
Wow.
Coming in at 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 53 seconds.
Dang. What an achievement.
But his victory was short-lived. Because after reviewing the race tapes, officials gave him the bad news that Esteban was disqualified.
Did he skip a route or something?
No.
Like he went the wrong way?
He ran the whole route, but apparently he was going so fast, the volunteers at the water stations weren't even completely set up yet. So they had nothing ready for him.
Oh!
What?
He'd have to pass with no water.
Uh-huh.
That's when his biggest fan knew he had to help out. His father jumped on his own bike with a bottle of water and chased after his son.
That's so cute.
He was able to catch up to him around mile 15, and that's when Esteban took a sip.
And
apparently receiving water from a spectator, even if it's his dad,
no!
is not allowed. And Esteban was officially booted from the race.
That is sad. Can we petition?
I know.
Afterwards, he told the media that he's disappointed regarding the decision, since it wasn't his fault there was no water set up on the course.
Yeah. Right.
But he'll try to move past it and look forward to his next race without his dad, of course.
We feel bad, but he could have given his son steroids, and that's why his mile was so good.
Yeah.
So, end of the day, I say prosecute.
Oh, okay.
His next Laser Story is out of China. It's not unusual to get a Chinese knockoff product online, but some feel the counterfeiting's gone too far with the newest stunt, one that a zoo is pulling. The Taizhou Zoo in Jiangsu Province decided to try to pass dogs off as pandas by simply dyeing their coats white and black.
Money. I want to play with them.
We got the pictures up on our Insta stories. What do you think, Brooke? Because Jose believes they are actually pandas.
They look like tiny pandas, but they
on all fours.
Still
from far
look
away.
Like dogs.
Yeah, they're fluffy, though, that's for sure.
They're very fluffy.
They're chow chow dogs.
Oh,
those are the big-haired breed from northern China, and the zoo now has four of them running around in an enclosure pretending to be baby panda bears.
I love it.
I mean,
they dyed the fur exactly like a panda bear.
I don't know why the U.S. zoos aren't doing this since they actually can't have pandas.
Imagine going to the lions and it's like a kitten with a little lion mane. That would be so cute.
They did a really good job and they unveiled them on May 1st thinking nobody would notice. Oh. But everyone did.
Yeah.
And pictures of the pups quickly went viral on social media.
Mommy, why is it eating out of a dog bowl? Yeah. I thought they only ate bamboo.
While the zoo did worry about backlash, surprisingly, there's been a nonstop line since the fake pandas have gone viral. They're now more popular than the real pandas who were at the zoo over 15 years ago.
Release the real pandas. Yeah.
So officials say they're going to keep them. Plus, they claim that the paint is 100% safe and swears the dog panda's makeovers are humane, using only natural dyes on their fur.
Okay. I just also noticed in the picture there's an actual doghouse in the background.
Oh.
Do you see that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it may have been a house for
it's a panda house.
Yeah.
That's what pandas live in the natural environment.
Okay. Yeah. They love dog bones.
Yeah. This next laser story is out of the friendly skies. A travel site called 1 Mile at a Time did a big write-up on how to go number two on planes. Kind of gross, but this does happen. Yeah. Occasionally, nature
especially
calls.
Especially those long-haul flights.
Yeah, and you try to avoid it, but...
They wanted to know the ideal time to go if you have to go.
Okay, because you don't want to hold it up. It looks so sketchy. If you go back there and you're in the stall for so long, I always feel like people are going to know.
You got
to
time
it right. People
are
timing me.
So
here's
their advice. The worst times to go are just after takeoff, right after they serve food, and right before you land. Those are all high traffic times for airplane lavatories.
All those times are when I want to go. Like in my head, I'm like, okay, I just ate. It's time to go to the bathroom.
The best time to go is just before they start serving food.
Okay.
Isn't that the same as takeoff?
Kind of. It's like after takeoff, before the food's done.
Like 20,
it's
20,
a very small window.
25 minutes after takeoff.
Okay.
Three reasons. Number one, other passengers will be in their seats so they don't miss the food and the drinks.
Okay.
Yeah,
number two, the crew won't be sitting in the galley and have to hear you punishing the poor toilet.
Stop it!
And number three, once the carts are in the aisles, people can't get up to use the bathroom. So that's your best shot at having no one waiting outside.
Oh, I see.
You get as much time as you want and all the privacy in the world.
Zero pressure.
Yeah, so if you follow that advice, you're good. I just wish this guy would listen. Because last time he was on a plane, he had 5 Jack and Cokes and then used the ice bucket on the drink cart at his own little waiting pool. Super cute, but not allowed.
Yeah.
That sound means Laser Stories has come to an end for the day. We'll do it again, same time on Friday. Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.